What's going on, Versus Community? It's your boy Cell, along with two co-hosts today.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Vinyl.
My intro ain't gonna be that strong, but it's your boy, the Black Knight, aka Tevin Campbell.
All right. So, the reason why we had this podcast, and shout out to Kyle Fondre, because the four of us, sorry, Kyle missed the main event on at Midwinter, but the four of us was playing Mono Galactus, and I believe this is one of the few times that so many people came on the same character in mono fashion, so because I don't even remember the last time so many mono decks, were wound up getting played and top eighting, we want to talk about what we thought about, if we thought about a non-mono build, what we would have done. Then we'll discuss what's inside our, mono builds and why we played what we did. So, Vern, what would you have done with a non-mono Galactus? And this is the Galactus, the level three Galactus, not the OG Galactus.
Okay, well, I guess I should start with talking about the benefits of this level three Galactus in itself. Just being able to start out with a situation that puts the opponent in a tough spot where they can't play any eight cost characters without the with a few exceptions. And they can't level up in a level three main character. So that alone was huge. Plus the guy starting out with flight range, eight attack, eight defense, and seven health. So right off the bat, you have a main that's hard to stun. And then you have a main that is going to at least turn seven at the very least, barring some type of wound cheat situation, which was prevalent in this format. So he's just a really good character, and I knew that he was going to be there in some form or fashion. And just full disclosure, pretty much from day one, I'm not going to say we zeroed in on Galactus, but I knew that most likely this was probably going to be what we ended up playing, barring any new discoveries.
Yeah.
So what happened is that through testing, we found so many good main characters and so many different problems. It really was just a wide open format in many different ways. So it became a how do we counter this problem? Okay, now how do we counter this problem? Oh, well, if we do that, we can't beat this. If we do that, we can't beat this. Now we can't beat either of these. And so what ended up happening was we said, okay, non-mono can handle this and that better, while mono gives you a better chance to handle everything. So that's really what happened, is why I decided to go with mono. Mono had a really good matchup against probably 95 plus percent of the decks in the format, and gave you a slight chance against the decks that it will struggle with. For example, like a Molecule Man deck or a Death deck. The non-mono version of Galactus was going to come equipped, of course, with excuse me, with things like Nick Fury and X-23 that would give it a better matchup against the decks I just mentioned, but it would be less consistency against other situations. So ultimately, I chose to go with the mono version.
So, what about you, Tevin? What would you have had in your non-mono version?
Yeah, so I think for me, the non-mono version would have set me up to be more aggressive earlier because, like Vern stated, all the benefits of playing Big Daddy G, them not being able to play the eight drops, having seven health so you're going to get further in the game and being 8/8 so you're tough to hit, made it so that I was really banking on getting to the long game to start some of the shenanigans and really, really start to play. But I would have been able to probably invent sooner if I had the Ant-Man that could shrink or invent, or have some really strong drops off team, even if I'm thinking of just staying fantastic to include more heralds to keep Galactus on more times than off, based on the power that keeps him passive. For me, thinking about the MCs that I thought were going to be there, it was really important to have cards like Stand Together in the deck. So that put me on mono. Also, being able to team attack, I thought that'd be a significant advantage over some people who are going to really be fitting tech into the deck to try and anticipate what the field was going to be, on top of all the other benefits of playing Galactus. So for me, I was like, all right, can I do the things that I like to do? Is there enough tech in this deck staying on mono to get me out of the situations that I think I'll be running up against? And can I outlast most other MCs and whatever they're going to be trying to do by staying on team? And the answer to all those questions was yes. So, ultimately I chose go with mono, and came up with a build that had some, again, tech that I enjoyed playing, in working with Dave and going over it, and was able to be successful. So what about you, Sal?
Yeah, what happened to sale,
Can
man?
y'all hear me?
We can
We can
now.
hear you
Oh
now.
yeah,
Yeah, okay.
getting a little concerned.
Yeah, no, I had to
Sal was
mute
acting like
my
Montel for a minute. Hold on now.
I had to mute my headset for a second. I forgot how I muted it. But the yeah, similar thought, because like I said, with us testing, and usually for us, we have a few MCs where we already think, okay, these MCs are good. Let's test the other ones that look more dubious, and see if we can go ahead and weed them out. And we've had some situations, usually not a lot of times, maybe a fourth of the time, where the MCs we think are good aren't, like, just aren't. So in this case, we were right as far as Galactus. And one of the things I was going to put in the deck was going to be, so Galactus for me was more control. So I thought, okay, how can I gain more control? And I was going to just play like red team stuff, like Iron Fist, two drop Iron Fist, six drop Iron Fist, Cable on five, four drop Gambit, blow stuff up, shoot for some board removal. That type of thing, because Galactus don't need any locations. So,
Right.
if everybody's hiding behind Galactus, or if I'm playing one hitter quitters, then fine. Plus, I'd be able to yank them to the front, with Spider Carnage and Web Sling and all that type of stuff. So it wasn't like he was going to be able, whoever I played was going to be able to escape,
Right.
and then fill in the rest with any type of heralds. And go from there. But I also had a version of the deck where I wanted to heal Galactus or hide Galactus. So either way it went, with him having seven health, if we go the long game and you don't have Galactus and I got big characters, then I can outlast you just because I can constantly get to your MC. But if I'm healing Galactus or hiding Galactus, then you can't get to my MC. Because a lot of the stuff in the format to hit somebody face down or turn somebody face up is gone.
Right.
So, but like Werner said, a lot of stuff we expected to see, we knew we was going to run into zombies, and we was like, okay, Galactus is big enough that we could just give Hunger Virus back to people. You know what I mean? So that was always on the table. So once we figured out how to do that consistently, as far as getting rid of flyers and stuff, it was like, okay, they in the same boat as us. And because it's a melee attack, if Power Cosmic is available, you can always Power Cosmic somebody's, character and give them the virus that way, because it's still a melee attack. So it just says stun during a melee attack. It doesn't say anything about how they get the stun. So was like, okay, cool. So we was able to power Cosmic past any type of think agains or combat cancels in order to give somebody the virus, you know. But then it was like, okay, if this is non-mono and we got the power cosmic, if we don't have the power cosmic, then what do you do? So now then the deck started getting convoluted, trying to stop people's I had Danger Room in the deck, you know, I had the reds and you know, some of the wilds, and it was like, man, like Vern said, the consistency, like this is not going to be consistent. None of these people are even on the same team. You can't team attack, you know. You know, everybody's eating from the same plate, you know, as far as all these reds. And you know, you could put Charlie 27 in there, it still ain't enough. And it's like, nah, this is getting crazy. So yeah, we went ahead and started focusing on the mono version of the deck. So since we talked about the non-mono version, let's go ahead and get into the mono version. So Tevin, you got a deck list for us, and let us know, you know, what you why you chose the cards you chose for your deck.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do got to give big shouts out to Dave. He put the deck in my lap and we've worked on it together. And I made changes that I thought would help advance based off of the way that I like to play. But if we're looking at the deck, I had three of the one drop Carnage. I didn't have a two drop, and I think that's where I made the big mistake because I, you know, in my lack of testing, I didn't realize that when she thing gets stunned, even though she changes team, she flips right back up. So now, in hindsight, I'm thinking, well, if I'm blocking a zombie character, she can block two. It's like a two for one. It's pseudo tough, right? And I think I would have done better with a couple of more low drops to kind of starve off some of the action that may have been happening, even though Big Daddy G is the 8/8. But I had the four destroyers, of course, because that's Galactus's, you know, cousin from another mother. Or something like that. But you know, that power is really strong when he's up, being able to just pop people and get him out the way. Big time card that performed way better than I thought it was Pace Pop Pete. I think everybody knows he's strong, obviously, being able to strike and exhaust the defender, and then they can't ready. So you being able to lock stun people. So I had four of those. I had three of the awesome androids because I thought, you know, as soon as he hits, he's minimum 8/8. So now I got a big body that can get out there and get busy. I thought I was gonna be in preparation for Galactus, so I did have four fallen ones in the deck because obviously, if he strikes Galactus, it's an auto stun. But then also, he's a Herald of Galactus and he's got flight range 2 health, so that was good. I went with Thundara, so I had two Thundaras based off of her having leap and bulletproof. So I thought, big thing to me, well, the zombies, she can't be struck by zombie Hawkeye, so I can keep her in the front. She has bulletproof, so somebody has to come in and get it, you know, in melee combat if they want to beef her. And then I had the plot twist to support her, where I felt like I could keep her alive and stay out of most troublesome situations with her as a character. I had one Airwalker because he had flight and 2 health. That was a stupid card to implode. I shouldn't have put him in there. He's a Herald, obviously, but he shouldn't have been in there. Two Stardust, another Herald. Plus, if I had an extra Lavaria up, I'd be able to flip the blue. You know, get him out and then bring him back so that Big Daddy G can stay turned on. Four Impossible Man, because it's the best utility card that you have on Frightful, being able to utilize him in multiple ways. And then where the tech came into play is I had three of the OG Doctor Dooms, the one where you can spend the yellow and build 7/7 flight range. But when you play an equipment, you put three counters on him. And when you play a plot twist, you ready him. So I had three of him and I had two makers. So one of the points of the decks was to get the maker out, start to invent, and I'm sorry, yeah, get the maker and start to invent, get Doom out and start to invent, and then really start to use the inventions in conjunction with Doom being able to grow and do different things to throw my opponent off, get a big body, but then also start to clear a board if I needed to. And I'll come back to that in a little bit, but I had two Terrax. Because I was running greens to be able to steal counters and double them, and he's a Herald. And then I had two Thor, the nine drop, 16/16, which I think now in hindsight, again, it was just a win more card, even though I thought most games would be going long. Thor didn't really need to be in there. It's not a bad include, but I never played him and never got to him. So back to the Doctor Doom, you know, I think of the inventions, like when I was thinking of playing the inventions like Big Bang Cannon. Big Bang Cannon, when you're swinging into a Doctor Doom, hits even harder because you're minus one. I got to play this card for free. He gets three counters, so now he went up by three, and that's a 4-point swing that you're going to have to compensate on an attack that you're making. Not even considering the plot twist that I have based off of being loyalty. So I had the four unwavering loyalties. I had the power cosmics for Big Daddy G to get free stuns when he needed to. I had three stand togethers, which I thought was going to be crucial for eliminating some superpowers if we got into tricky situations, depending on who I thought was going to come up. And the other big mistake I made was that I had three observant adepts instead of four. I didn't realize how good of a utility card this was going to be in this format based off of the plot twist that my opponents were playing, and that would be available to me. And that came to bite me in the butt in the very last game. Or I'm sorry, the round of top eight that I was in. The inventions that I had with the maker was I had Isosphere, and I had to remember that Isosphere wasn't incurred because I kept thinking like Isosphere is a great card. So that in and itself, with being able to keep Lokes up unless I was just spending them for Doom, Terra, or Terrax or Thor, put me in a good situation where if I ever got it out and put it on Big Daddy D, it probably likely he wasn't going to get stunned, even if he was not, even if there wasn't a Herald up. I had the Power Gem, the Time Gem, the Mind Gem, and then the Serpent Crown. And so all those gems were utility. Serpent Crown was to steal something that would be a problem if I could keep and protect the Maker up. And then everything else, all the other inventions that you would expect to be in the deck, based off of running that, the Frightfuls and then the neutrals. So I did get to do the Doom Trickery quite a bit in the games that I played where things were going well. And the deck proved to be pretty resilient in playing throughout the tournament. I went up against some MCs that I didn't anticipate and it performed very well. And I do think because the unwaverings were there, because of being able to team attack and the synergy that the cars were able to produce when I needed them to swing and hit, again, helped me find a lot of success.
Okay, cool. So what about you, Vern? What deck build did you have and why did you include the cards you did?
And I think people are about to find out immediately while we're doing this pod because I love the deck that Tevin just described, and my deck is completely different, and the
Mine
goal is
too.
completely
Yep.
different. And
Completely different.
I know that yours is different from mine. So,
Yep.
Galactus is really good and versatile. All right. So the purpose of my deck, I mean, I think everybody knows, but for the most part, I like to hit people. I wanted to play Galactus because, to me, I felt like he could defend himself well enough before he gets going. My goal was stay relevant for the first three turns, and then from turn three, most of the time, or turn four, be on straight go mode. I was not trying to stall anything out. I'm trying to kill and put wounds on people as fast as possible. So if anyone was trying to attack me right off the bat with their main, I'm not trying to save Power Cosmos. I'm trying to use it immediately to keep myself from getting wounded. And once a Herald hits, I'm going in. So I'm going to just go ahead and get into the cards that were played, and then it'll start to be a little bit more easy to understand. So of course we got Big G. I didn't have anything on one. I didn't have anything on two. And the reason is because in my mind there were going to be a deep Galactus was going to be the most MC played. I thought it was going to be close between Reed and Galactus, but I thought it was going to be more Galactuses. So I wanted to have a few more tricks in the deck to help me have an advantage against any other Galactuses. And I just felt like I didn't really need anything early to defend myself because I had other plans. So we start with three. I got three Paste Pot Pete in the deck. Paste Pot Pete in the right situation can basically win you the game by himself. If you can
Yeah.
keep him protected You can get into game states where he ends the game. There were, I think, it was at least one game. I know against Thor. I had reinfected Thor, and Paste Pot Pete just kept Thor frozen for two turns, and he basically killed himself. So situations like that, his six defense is great, especially when he's attacking people without health. And there were multiple situations where a powered up Paste Pot Pete kept him from getting stunned, even against a ranged character. So outstanding character. And then, of course, there's the Destroyer. We don't really need to know or go into why he's so good. I mean, he helps keep your opponent's characters free from the board. And if you get him on three and you can keep him protected, you can go through the rest of the game without your opponent even having a board and really dominate from that point forward. Turn four, I did have one Thundra. This was a last minute addition, actually. I decided I wanted to have more than four cost characters to go along with Fallen One. Thundra was, to me, was just an alternate situation where if I could get another character on the board, then she would be there. The bulletproof comes in handy more often than you think, especially against other Galactus decks. And then that leap helps you to get over a character if you need to, and then just the two health. The Fallen One obviously counters other Galactuses, but something that's underrated is the fact that his flight and range allows him to team attack effectively in a mono deck, which is why I disagree with Tevin on Airwalker. Airwalker is just big enough and has two health. And that was good enough for me because it meant that either I could get to the back row and hit somebody that was problematic, or I could team attack and get something that's just a little out of range. And nine times out of 10, if I pull Airwalker, nothing was going to be able to stand in front of me. And it was that was consistent with me. So then here's probably another character that most people don't like, but in my testing, this character was outstanding, and that's Stardust. Now, any other version of like the old Galactus, I didn't play Stardust because she wasn't that good. Yes, she is a she, believe it or not. But in this version where you want to keep a Herald on the field, and in certain situations you want to keep certain characters protected, in a deck that the main doesn't really use locations, Stardust might never go away. And that nine attack certainly comes in handy, especially if you're playing against another Galactus. She was actually really good. I also ran four Impossible Mans. Now, this goes along with my strategy. What I really wanted to do was on the first two turns, I was hoping I pulled an Impossible Man or two, because if I play a po Impossible Man on my Galactus, that means he's 10 and 10, which will make him very difficult to get to from anybody playing a zombie character. So on, anybody playing a zombie character on turn one, if you get Stilt Man, they're probably trying to either attack and ready him with what. I'm not even gonna sit up here and act and pretend like I know which plot twist does what. But play zombie character attack. Of course, he's up against Galactus, so he's not getting stunned. You ready him, put two counters on him, attack again with the other one to get to Galactus. But if I have just one Impossible Man, you can't even do that. That came in handy multiple times in testing. And a few times during the game at the tourney. All right, so on seven, I do have a Dr. Doom in the deck, but honestly, I didn't really want to play him, which is the difference between me and Tevin. I think I remember talking to Tevin. He said Dr. Doom and the Maker was a focal point for him. He wanted to invent. I didn't. If I invented, cool, but that wasn't the focus. And I also have one Terax. Once again, not really the focus. He was there mostly for tech. If I needed to get counters off of people, or I wanted to make the counters that I had, invented with somebody else to double or something like that, or move it to a different character. But he was secondary. My main seven was two Super Skrulls. Super Skrull is one of the most underrated seven drops in the game. The ability to choose whichever power situation you want, whether it's just to stack counters on them, whether it's to make him be able to be huge and not be struck back. But for the most part, the most important is the ability to attack, protect the characters. So I can usually combo that with another pump. And if your main is in the back row, I can get to you. So if Galactus is hiding at this point, Super Scroll can take him out. And there's nothing that can really be played to stop it. So Super Scroll is my main seven. I only have two eights. That's Morg the Executioner. Yes, we know he's not a great eight drop, but he's very great when your opponent can't play them. And he's also a hero. And being able to attack with him and flip a red, give him ferocious and triple his attack means that if you're up against somebody with a ridiculous amount of counters or something like that, he'll be able to take them down. Same situation with Thor. Again, if we go that late in the game and I'm playing against somebody that isn't playing Galactus, Thor pretty much ends the game at that point. And I know that it can seem like an overkill situation, but considering that my deck is saying on turn three, I just want to go all in. Like, I want to end the game on seven, eight, or nine. Dropping that nine helps me end the game on nine. All right, so now I have a different set of plot twists than I think you guys are going to have because of my goal. So first, I got two unnecessary evils in here. This was just something to give me extra attack when I needed it. It wasn't meant to be used for defense, but I wanted more attack pumps than just unwavering loyalty. So I put two unnecessary evils in here. It actually came in handy many, many times. Then we have unwavering loyalty. Obviously, for me, a lot of times I end up using unwavering loyalty early in the game so that even if someone was able to pump enough to be able to try to zombify Galactus, unwavering loyalty will usually take them out of range. Staying together, I have four. I thought staying together was important enough to put a full set in the deck. I mean, we know what it does. It stops things. And me personally, I thought there would be more zombie situations than there would be Molecule Man situations. But I felt like staying together was really the only thing you had against Molecule Man. And even then, it wasn't a good idea. Or should I say, it wasn't a situation that was in your favor if it was like a great Molecule Man deck, which it was. But other than that, like being able to stop Reed from inventing at key moments, huge. Unfortunately, I never played Reed, but it was what it was. Then we had a Power Cosmic. Power Cosmic says, yeah, I'm stunning you anyway. That's basically what Power Cosmic says. Huge against Mr. Fantastic because his unwavering, I'm sorry, his unstable molecules mean nothing against Power Cosmic. So a lot of times you attack into a Mr. Fantastic, they've invented their little unwavering, I mean their little unstable molecules, and then you just play Power Cosmic on top of it and knock it off. Now here is the big difference in my deck. I had three Nova Corps and three spaces in the deck. Now, granted, it's a two-card combo, but first of all, I helped Jamar build a Dormammu deck, so I wanted to have extra basics in the deck. It wasn't enough to stop him from beating me, but I wanted that. But on top of that, the Nova Corps says your main character may pay a space. If it does, KO an enemy supporting character in a combat with seven attack or more. Galactus has eight defense. So in order to get him to be zombified, you had to attack with a character that has seven attack or more. And nothing is more devastating than when a person is attacking, thinking they're going to get Galactus zombified, but instead they lose the character in total. So this card, one activation of it can really ruin your opponent's plans, whether it's trying to zombie you or whether it's in a later game and they're just trying to get the wound on Galactus. Okay, now you don't even have your character anymore. And, came in huge doing testing and also came in huge a few times at the tourney. Other than that, it's just the rest of the locations. That was it.
Okay, cool. Appreciate being thorough. So, like I said, we got a little bit different on my end from my deck because my goal was to be as consistent as possible while also being aggressive. So, have four she things. Actually, Bird is one that told me she thing flips back up. I didn't know either until literally like my second game or whatever. I got two Paste Pot Pete's, three Destroyers, four Fallen Ones, four Airwalkers, two Impossible Mans, three Stardust, three Super Skrulls, one Terrax, two Morgs, and one Thor. Four Power Cosmic for obvious reasons. So I had four Necessary Evils because I wanted to use my four Unwaverings on the defense and use Necessary Evil on the offense. I have four Observe and Adapts because if someone plays Plot Twist on turn two or three, and if they play one Plot Twist, one combat Plot Twist, the odds of them winning go ex is extremely low now, because me being able to use their cards that early and still have my cards to attack with completely flips everything around. So, because I'm like, okay, man, they play dark, I got them. They can't even escape me. They play Fantastic Four Inventions, Gadget and all that type of stuff. I got it. Now I got it. Same thing, I knew he was gonna meet other mono people. I think that's what happened in my game with Tevin. I had Observe and Adapt, and once he played Unwavering, I think he played Unwavering early. I think I would use two Observe and Adapts, and then I still pulled into my own Unwavering. So I think I played Unwaverings like five times. So
It
Observe
was
and Adapt,
six.
what'd you say?
I said it was probably six or seven the way you beat me that game, but carry on.
And then of course, Stand Together. So this isn't the version of the deck that I had. I think, like I said in the other podcast, I realized that the deck I had wasn't enough power in the beginning, and then I didn't have an 8-drop or a 9-drop because I was planning on playing more Galactus. I told Vern that's not going to work. So the adjustment I did make, though, to give it a little bit more balance, at first I only had eight locations in here between Latveria and two reds and two blues. And I kept shuffling around about how many locations I wanted because I did want the plot twist to be dominant. And I did want to do work. And I wanted to make sure that I could stay aggressive. So the plot twist, like Vern said, one of the things we realized is you may have a thing where Stardust never goes away. Well, if Stardust doesn't go away and you have Super Skrull, then that means if you get the right plot twist, you won't use the locations for them. You'll block for them with the plot twist, And then when you do have the locations, you're right, some of your characters just won't go away. It's like I remember a game where I used the blue on Stardust and she just kept coming back. She kept coming back. So she was on the field like three turns. And then, Super Skrull is there. If you give him counters, now he's 9-9. And then if you flip the red, you can use whatever else you want. So when he's 9-9, then that's forcing somebody to have to use one of their big people, most likely, in order to strike Super Skrull. If they do that, then now the odds of them having another big person to be able to strike Galactus is slimmer. And because Stardust constantly stays out, now what do you do? And then you shrink in the field with Destroyer. Every time somebody gets a wound, you blasting them. So it really was once the engine gets going and you just constantly have access to the MC, after turn five, I think everybody but Super Skrull has flight. And then Super Skrull don't need flight because you can always use one of his Super Skrull engineering powers to get to the back row anyway. So, like I said, Let's see. Yeah, turn three forward. Every single character in this deck has flight but super scroll. So if dealing with the zombies, they only have Angel. And I wanted to make sure my cards could stun what's his name? Stilt Man. Because Stilt Man is literally the best one of those zombies. Because if you don't have flight and you don't have range, you can't strike them. So it's ridiculous. And when they team up between Stilt Man and Angel, now it's like I can't strike one guy, and now you're stuck with, Angel blocking from the back row or blocking against the back row. So I was like, okay, I need to make sure. And that's one of the reasons why I took what's her name? Thundra. Is that her name?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I took her out the deck, because I was like, okay, she doesn't have flight, she doesn't have range. I can't risk being in a zombie situation where, I because she's gonna get stunned by everybody. She's gonna get stunned by Stilt Man, and she's gonna get stunned by Angel, even though you'll take down Angel. And I'm like, I don't want her to be getting no virus, because every time she got the virus, intestine, it was terrible. So I was like, nah, let me just stick with the flyers. And if somebody pop up with some air superiority, it is what it is, And then I'm like, okay, well, I got the plot twist, and I'll be able to, use Super Scroll against them if I have to deal with that. So the reason why I didn't have some of the other characters in here, like Doom, reason why I didn't have Doom in the deck is because Doom would have required me to have more locations, and I wanted to make sure I had more plot twists. And Doom brings your aggro to a screeching halt because he turns your deck into a combo deck, because he needs locations and he needs plot twists, and he's going ready, and then you get inventions and all that type of stuff. I was like, nah, same thing with the Maker. If the Maker can't get the job done by himself, which most of these cards can, then it's like, no, I don't want to deal with it. I want to just be able to go in there and swing. And if they don't have it, fine. If they do have it, so do I. So that was my intent, like I said, with the deck. And so now I think, like I said, it's interesting because for the most part, even with Vern coming in 10th, Galactus really still showed up between the three of us, because you figure out the 20 something people. Galactus was still one third of the top 10. So I'm like, okay, I can't you can't really you can't really beat that, because I think if more people had played Galactus, I think more things would have went in their favor. I do like that now that we have so many good MCs, we have so much variety. And I think that has to be kept in mind going into future testings in any format. Because I think we've been biased against being, OGs in this game as Team Apex for so long, we forget sometimes, like, it's a lot of good MCs. So we got to make sure. And this time past, we did do a lot of solid testing,
We
huh? We what?
I don't agree with that, but okay.
We what?
I don't think I forget that there's a lot of good MCs.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's a lot of people on the team that get tunnel visioned, and we go through that with them every single tournament since 2017. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not just talking about me and you. I'm talking about as a team.
Let me not throw anybody under the bus.
Yeah,
I
we
know
as
who
a
you think
team.
about throwing too. I know who you think about throwing. I ain't gonna throw them either.
No, I don't think you do.
No, I'm just joking. I probably don't. I just like to start best. I don't know who you're talking about.
This dude named Tevin, man. That dude, boy. Come on now. Something wrong with
I
that
will say
joker.
though, listen. You know it's a lot wrong with me, but I think the fact that we all played mono though was really it really played into our favor, because we were able to include card like all the cards that we were able to include because we played mono, but were very, very relevant during the tournament. And I was able to keep the board way, or I should say, I was able to clear the board a lot faster than I thought I would have been able to if I was off team because I had so many team attack options. So I think those two things like really played into the favor on top of the fact that, Big Daddy G's is a monstrous MC anyway. So.
Yeah. I just, as we sit here talking, I just realized we still haven't gotten the incursion bans yet. And it's a possibility that Big Daddy G doesn't get incurred.
And I'm gonna run it back. No, I'll tell you now.
It
Run
depends on
it
what
back.
he might not get nothing banned because Molecule Man did have, but yeah, they didn't play anything on Molecule Man's team. I mean, for Frightful and the Molecule
I'm
Man deck, did they?
pretty sure, yes, they play Destroyer. I'm pretty sure
Oh,
Destroyer is getting
okay.
banned
Yeah.
regardless.
That's gonna hurt.
Yeah, he
Because
does a lot here.
tremendous,
Braves,
tremendously.
yeah, it's a fantastic card.
Tremendous card. It's
Because
outstanding.
one of the things that made that I liked about my deck is that I can always use my small people to hit up the curve, even if they get stunned, so I can keep my big people alive. And if you got a character that don't have range, then I'm not sweating it, even if you block it. So now I'm making you waste a plot twist to keep your people there, but you're not striking me back. Because with Destroyer, you can swing in with Necessary Evil, strike for six. Okay, then he most likely he could take a four drop and any four drop and under down by himself. Then that's gonna always be relevant because he can swing on Fallen One. And get Fallen One up out of there. Yeah, he'll take a hit, but like I said, you want to make sure that you can start keeping people's fields low. Because I played one game where I had to attack somebody with range with Destroyer, and then they couldn't get to him the rest of the game. So I kept KOing, KOing folks. Somebody got KO'd every single turn. So, like I said, I want to make sure. Well, like I said, I'm glad that we did play Mono because it really showed, like I said, the power that Mono has. And then for me and Vern, we went two tournaments in a row playing the same MC and playing Mono. I don't know if people are against, Mono. It's just sometimes, not every time, sometimes it just makes stuff simpler.
Well,
You got a tech
you
card
know
and you got
what?
a combat card.
I wouldn't even say that though, because it's crazy to see, and I'm so happy you, Team Apex decided to do this kind of like Vern was up on in the beginning. It is simpler because it makes your plays more streamlined, but there was so much different tech that we all put in these three different decks too, right? So I think this game, more than anything from a deck building perspective, really helps you manifest and put your personality into how you play. Because the way I approached it was way different than how Vern did, and it's way different from how you did. So, and like while I'm holding my cards, we still had to make those game time decisions that were going to put us in an advantageous situation against our opponent. And considering the fact that the people that I, the MC that I was playing against, I didn't even have in my brain space at all. So, like trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I'm playing Bam, he plays Buffy. I'm not playing supporting characters until like turn seven. I'm like, I'm not swinging on anybody. I'm not even giving you a chance to level to try and get me. You know what I mean? So I completely had to change my strategy, but there was enough utility in that deck, even though it was all the same team, and versatility to where I was able to find a way to win, based off of the combination of cards we had. And that's the thing I love about the game, but that's the thing too, because I learned so much just from hearing you both talk about the tech and the thoughts that you put into. I didn't think about Necessary Evil replacing my Unwavering to make sure that I'm getting additional stuns, because that would have definitely helped me keep the zombie off of Big Daddy G, or do, just use it in a better utility way. Just like when I was playing Sean in the top eight, and he played that he invented the Pro Reg psychic. I don't know the name of the plot twist, but you say a character, and then when they play that character, it's KO.
Psycho history or
And
something like that.
yep, psych, yeah. I didn't think hard enough. I had two observant adepts after he played that. I could have copied that card and said Koblet, and he wouldn't have been able to turn off my ability to stay on team and play plot twist, because that hurt me in one of the games. And I should have snap did that as soon as he played it my next turn. And I didn't even think about it until after. You know what I mean? But like, to have a deck that has that level of versatility and still be all on team is wild to me. You know, so it's cool that, you know, for me, the game continues to evolve and continues to, as I, you know, become more inept with the cards and gain my knowledge and really just get the games in, because I need the combat scenarios and experience and to learn from OGs like y'all in the game is a really humbling experience. But I'm glad I'm able to, you know, be involved in stuff like this and just keep trying to build and become a better player.
That's what it's
I think
about.
you're doing okay.
Yeah. Considering how many top eights you've been
I think you're doing all right, sir.
in. Yeah.
I
Yeah. Cause
told you 2 years, it'll be 2 years in April, so we're coming up on that anniversary pretty soon.
yeah. Yeah, cause like I said, at the beginning when nothing was going on and we didn't know about no tournaments consistently, there was no Facebook group at the time, and you know, we was finding out everything, you know, just through random searches, basically, you know, trying to go to different comic shops. So, yeah, like I said, I think you're doing all right coming in. Like same thing with Jose, you know, I think he's only been playing a couple years, you know, post-COVID. So, yeah, good job. Because like I said, and that's the thing too. You want the community to be better, because if the community feels like they have information that can help them win, or they have information that can help them be a better player, then I think they'll stick around. And I think that's one of the things that drew me to this game again, because when we played OG versus, it was way more cutthroat, because way more, it was five figures of money on the line, you know, so people were less likely to trade you cards, people were less likely to tell you any type of strategy. You had to like Google, you know, look up stuff, go on metagame.com, look up the different strategies some of the players was talking about. So that's one of the reasons why we made the podcast. It's like, hey man, this is a solid game, nowhere near as broken as the old game. If people think that they can win, they'll probably stick around. And you want to encourage a community of you know, socialization and you know, a community with a spirit of giving, not of taking. You know, so like I said, that's one of the reasons why we do what we do. Glad, you know, the plot twisters, you know, talk about their games and their experiences, you know. Same thing for Buckeye. You know, they do good with community events and stuff like that. So like I said, I think we got a good community, and that allows us, even if people want to play casually, that allows us to still be able to keep the game going, you know. So any last thoughts about the game, about Mono Galactus?
I mean, I would just say he's fun to play, and if he's not banned, he's coming back for your boys. So,
I do have an idea. I'm just wondering how UDE, or really, it's not even UDE, it's FAG. That's such an unfortunate, couple of letters.
SAG,
Anyway,
Super Awesome Games.
yeah, just now realizing that. I wonder how they're gonna approach dealing with mono cards, because if they remove Staying Together and Unwavering, I'll obviously mono is dead,
Oh yeah,
and that would be so sad.
it would be, yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah, so hopefully
that
they
was
don't.
dead.
That's what I'm hoping, because by leaving Stand Together and Unwavering around, that allows for more mono decks that you wouldn't have had if you had the characters, especially in Incursion format. I think those mono cards add to the game, not take away from it.
I agree with that. I really think we need more mono cards, to be honest.
We had them. Then they changed the rules.
Which way? What do you mean?
Remember, we used to be able to put neutral cards in mono decks. Because Kobik used to be
No.
able to go in mono decks.
No, I mean plot twist. I'm not, yeah, I understand why they did that.
But I'm to some degree. But yeah, we do need some more mono, like I said, plot twists. But I think they're skeptical about doing that because we got the one tech card, we got the one combat card. I think we could use a couple of one of a kinds, maybe, for mono. You know.
We need more. Give us more.
But and then that's also going to complicate, you know, how you're going to build your mono deck because just like Tevin said, you have so many options. Because Avengers has the same issue. Fortunately, Rogue does not have that issue because we'll never be playing a mono Rogue. But Avengers, like I say, you try to build a mono deck with some a few good characters on Avengers, and it's like on their team, they got what, seven plot twists? The average team only has three. You know, so
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's
Defenders
just a problem in the
got
game,
more than that. I
period.
think Defenders got what, close to 10 plot twists just team stamped for them, you know? So it's you know, it can really get tough trying to choose for a mono character, you know, what's actually going in the deck. Yeah, but like I said, let's go ahead and wrap up this version of not this version. This episode.
Call it what you want, man.
Right.
Whatever feels good for you.
So, closing it out, it's your boy Cell, along with my co-host.
It's your boy Vern, aka why did I help build Anti-Galactus decks with this format?
Okay, and
It is your boy, the Black Knight One, aka T. Campbell, aka Big Daddy G is coming, and if he is, you better start running.
All right, appreciate you coming on, Tevin, and we'll see y'all in the Discord and in the collective later.